In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, until the ages of ages. Amen. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A herd of many pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. In these verses, in the 8th chapter of St. Luke, we are given some very valuable information about demons and the devil in general. The devil cannot do anything without God's permission. He was begging for permission to enter into the pigs. The demons have no jurisdiction over the animals, let alone baptized Christians. However, baptized Christians who do not activate their baptism and grieve the Spirit of God are very vulnerable to the maliciousness of the demons who ask permission from the Lord always to punish the evildoers. The key point is that the devil cannot make a single move without getting permission from God. These teachings I quote from Father Athanasius Mytilineos, who will be nourishing us with some solid spiritual food in this cassette program. We can watch the journey of the Lord, who leaves from the west bank of Galilee as he sails to the east bank of the lake, where the city of the Gerasenes happened to be. This journey of the Lord, just like every other journey that he made, was not by coincidence. When the Lord would schedule a journey to visit this and that area, this and that city, it was never by coincidence. When the Lord went to Jericho, what was his purpose? Didn't he go to call Zacchaeus? When the Lord was on his way to Samaria, who was he going for? Who was he seeking? Wasn't he going to find the Samaritan woman? Of course, the will of the Lord being the God-man belongs specifically to him and to his plan of salvation. His will was to come to earth to visit us, the God-man, a great and world historical visitation of God, the Word, in his creation as men. But why did he visit his creation? As God, isn't he omnipresent? Isn't he everywhere? What's the meaning of this visitation? Is it simply out of goodwill? It is a rather personal visit. He came to meet Adam. He also came to meet Adam's descendants. And he came to meet the devil as a human being. But why? When God the Word was visiting Adam in paradise, Adam had communion with God. We see only in one instance when God the Word expels Adam from paradise. But as God, he was visiting Adam. The footsteps of God the Word were familiar to Adam. This is why when he came to Adam after his fall, fear overcame Adam. These are the feet that many years later would be washed by that woman that our church honors very beautifully by the troparion or hymn of Cassiani sung on Holy Tuesday night. The hymn talks about those feet that Eve heard in paradise, and she was terrified and went into hiding. But why does he come now, after all these years? God the Word desired to pay his visit to Adam as man, not as God. More specifically, if you will, as God-man. This is what the book of Proverbs talks about in the 8th chapter. I, the wisdom, wisdom is the second person of the Holy Trinity. I, the wisdom, when God the Father was preparing the heavens, I was present. When the Father was glad at the completion of creation, he was especially glad, truly, by the creation of men. But because the Father alone does not create, but the Father creates through the Son in the Holy Spirit, this is the exact expression. Creation is of the Holy Triune God, the Holy Trinity. It's he who is glad for his creation, the whole Triune God, especially for the creation of men. But why is God especially pleased for the creation of men? The book of Baruch will tell us in its last chapter. Referring to the creation of the universe, it says, "It is He, our God, who tells the light to go, and it goes." It's amazing. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. After the creation, He was found on earth and lived among the people. He became visible on earth and lived with the people. Here again is the strong desire and eagerness of God the Word to interact with men, to visit the people. This was always in His plan or on His agenda, quote unquote. Some of these words just mentioned, like desire, eagerness, agenda, are not exactly appropriate or befitting of God, but they help us to communicate in human terms. So He comes among the people, a great desire of God the Word through the ages. He was anticipating, but the fullness of time had to come. However, this plan of God the Word was destroyed by the sin of Adam. But God creates whatever He wants, and whatever He creates, it endures. The scriptures say, "What I create endures, it stays, it does not destruct." Simply, the journey became much lengthier. The secondary plan of God was instituted to bring back once again the primary plan or will of God. The secondary plan was exactly how He came to be crucified, etc. Whereas the primary will was to stay and live with the people like a man without death, not only for the Son of God, but for the people as well. God permitted or worked out this way where His primary will would finally actualize in His kingdom, again having God the Word as men, with the people complete with body and soul. There will be no marriage or reproduction, and there we will return to the primary plan of God. In other words, if you want to see what God's primary will was, you only have to look at what will be taking place in the kingdom of God after the resurrection of the dead. But God had promised to Adam that He would come to visit him. But when He came on earth, Adam had died. So God the Word did not find Adam on earth. A most beautiful hymn in the service of Holy Friday, in the first stanza of the Lamentation, says, "Because you came in order to save Adam, and you did not find him on earth, O Master, you descended all the way to Hades, seeking him. You did not find him, so you went to look for him in Hades." This is the beauty of the Word of God. He was looking for Adam because He promised it to him, so He descended. And you know, Adam was waiting. So He went down to Hades to visit Adam and found him, and the desire of Adam was fulfilled. And another instance, if you will, Abraham also received the promise that God the Word would visit him with his human nature. And Christ reveals this to us. He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." When the Jews told him, "You are not even 50 years old, and Abraham saw you?" "Yes," he says, "Abraham saw my day, and he was glad." What is his day? His day is his incarnation, and he saw it and was glad. And the righteous were waiting like our first ancestor, like Adam, because God the Word was continually promising that he would come as men. And something else. In paradise, God the Word required Adam's faith. But Adam did not believe in the words of God, the Logos. Instead, he listened to the devil. But even now that God the Word descends, he's still requiring faith of those in Hades. Prior to him, St. John the Baptist preached a sermon on faith. He explained who Jesus was. When Jesus descended in Hades, now Adam was ready. He learned from his first mistake. His punishment was instructional and not punishment of condemnation. Punishment leading to correction. This time, Adam believed in the God-human person. He believed that the person that told him things in paradise is he who now descended. This is expressed beautifully by the Orthodox iconography of the resurrection, which shows Christ descending into Hades, pulling Adam and Eve towards him. Adam was saved. The Son of God came to earth to save the descendants of Adam's as well, and he found them. First, he found them to have ignorance of God. They forgot God. Him who Adam knew, they forgot. The people fell into idolatry. Just like Christians today, who fall away from Jesus Christ, fall into idolatry. So he preached and revealed the true God. He reveals God more fully. He reveals that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Secondly, he found the people to suffer from various different diseases and afflictions, and he healed them. He healed some isolated instances only because disease will cease to exist when the fullness of the kingdom of God comes. He also found them to have received the destructive and malicious energy of the devil. Just like we heard today in the reading of the scriptures about the demoniac of Gerasenes. A pitiful sight. He found humanity in a miserable state. The Son of God found human beings dying. God did not create people to die. Death is the greatest absurdity inside God's creation, inside God's plan. Yet, God raised a few men from the dead, choosing some isolated cases to give them the guarantee that the day will come when death will be defeated and all will be resurrected. He preached faith and repentance. Repentance was a way to return to God. Faith was the assurance that the Lord does not give up on us. He showed us this way in ancient paradise. And once again, through this method of faith, we will all reach salvation in the kingdom of God. Adam did not believe. That's why he lost paradise. And now, his descendants, in order to enter the kingdom of God, in other words, in a more perfect and better paradise, it was necessary for them to believe again. Just like St. Paul says, without faith, it is impossible for someone to please God. What is this faith? The faith in the God-human person of Jesus Christ. It is not enough to believe that Jesus Christ is only God. It is not enough to believe that Jesus Christ was a perfect man only. We must have faith in the God-human person of Jesus Christ. In the seven churches of Asia Minor, in the book of Revelation, the Lord says, "Because you kept my word, I will protect you from the great temptation that will come on earth." It is the great temptation of the last days. If you ask me, what could this great temptation of the last days be? It is the temptation of believing in the God-human person of Jesus Christ. Because the God-human person will be mimicked and embezzled by the devil, and the people will be greatly confused, they will actually lose it. And I will protect you from this great temptation of the final days. So we can see what faith is. We enter the kingdom of God by believing not in the divine nor the human, but in the God-human person of Jesus Christ. So the Lord replaces the old paradise with his kingdom, and the primary plan, which I talked about previously, for the Son of God to live as a man with the people was already being realized in his everlasting kingdom. Additionally, the Son of God visited the earth always as the God-man to meet the devil. To meet the devil and to inactivate him, he found him on earth. God did not come to make the devil disappear, just to simply put him out of commission. So the Lord found the devil on earth. He finds him to be a great tormentor amongst the people, a terrible tyrant. He meets him now in the person of the demoniac of the Gerasenes. He meets him in the desert when he went there. The Spirit pushed Jesus to go to the desert, is how the Gospel records this. He meets him at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he meets him on the cross. The devil goes all out against Christ, but the devil does not know who Jesus is. He does not see the divine nature, only the human nature. God the Word is purposely hiding, so to speak, behind the human nature. Why is he hiding? Just like the devil was hiding behind the snake in order to deceive Adam and Eve, now the Lord gives him a taste of his own medicine. He tricks the devil, just like the devil tricked Adam and Eve. Whatever you did to others will be done to you. You deceived, you will be deceived. These events are taking place and must take place on a totally human level because a man was deceived by the devil, and now a man had to do the devil in. A man had to do battle and defeat the devil, not God. The devil could say, well, how can someone go up against you, Lord? Who can fight God? So again, a human being had to defeat the devil because it was man who was defeated. And that's why Jesus Christ is called the new Adam. The cross was the final blow that the devil orchestrated against Christ, but he bruised his heel, according to Genesis. Christ uses the same weapon that the devil used against him, that being the Holy Cross. With the Holy Cross, Christ smashes the head of the devil. Finally, totally, and decisively, with no need for anything else. Let's see how beautifully this whole drama is described by Saint Athanasius the Great around 300 AD. And we quote, just like the fisherman does not throw a naked hook in the sea, but uses a worm as bait to dress up and camouflage the hook, in the same way, Christ does not offer his divinity exposed and obvious to the devil, but he hides his divine nature by using his most holy flesh as bait, and he camouflages the most holy hook, his world-saving cross. Now, what's being used as bait? The human nature. And what's the hook, if you will? The divine nature or the cross. We can say this for both. The devil approached the cross to destroy Christ, to eat the bait, the human nature, to destroy it, because the devil, in all his maliciousness, could see a most powerful opponent in Jesus. And there he took a beating. Just like St. John the Chrysostom says in one of his catechetical sermons around 400 AD, he went to find earth, but he found heaven. This is extraordinary. The divine nature was like the hook. Or, as some early church fathers mention, the cross was the hook, and the bait was in the form of the human nature of Christ. Therefore, the devil, having seen on the outside or physical nature, because divinity is invisible to the entire creation, even to the angels, God is invisible, the devil was tricked and took the bait of human nature only to be grabbed by the hook of divinity. So that's why Christ came, to hook the devil, just as the devil hooked Adam and Eve. Yes, devil, you will be punished the same way St. John the Chrysostom says, I covered the hook of my divine nature, the bait or worm of the flesh. This is where David speaks in the Psalms about the person of Christ. I am a worm and not a man. This is a prophecy about Christ. This worm that David talks about is the form of the human nature of Christ, referring to the method by which he would knock out and inactivate the devil. My friends, the Son of God visited the earth and Hades to find and save Adam and his descendants. He found them and he saved them. He also came to find the great deceiver, the devil. To deceive him was a human being, to destroy and inactivate him. St. John writes, that's why the Son of God appeared, to loosen the works of the devil and bind him. So when we see Christ coming amongst us and walking on earth, we see him as the greatest benefactor that visited us out of great love. when we comprehend and become fully conscious of this great favor, we cannot help but to do all we can to show him our gratefulness. So it is time to learn about our great stranger, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his great visitation. We need to thank him and glorify him and love him.